From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, December 3rd. I'm Abby Larico. Builders in the Midwest are finding new ways to use an old material, wood.
I hope that this is a catalyst for more structures being built using the same technologies.
The effort to fight climate change with mass timber construction. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The leader of one of the region's main organizations promoting business development and economic growth is stepping down as its CEO in the coming weeks. Jason Hall has led Greater St. Louis, Inc. since the entity formed 4 years ago, when five local economic development organizations merged into a single entity. Hall led the development of the STL 2030 Jobs Plan, a 10-year roadmap for the region to focus on geospatial, advanced manufacturing, and other sectors. Andy Deering is the lead of the Geo Futures Initiative, which is one part of that overall plan.
We're set up well into the future to where, however Greater St. Louis Inc. evolves, this is a core tenant and a core innovation sector that we're going to continue to grow here in St. Louis.
Deering says Hall has been an important part of the St. Louis region, positioning itself as an emerging leader in the geospatial industry. A program designed to help protect people from being evicted in St. Louis is off to a slow start. The Board of Aldermen passed the Right to Counsel Bill in July of 2023 to create a system that would pair tenants facing eviction with legal representation. The goal was to keep more people in their homes. The River City Journalism Fund reports that the organization in charge of the effort took on 58 cases in August of this year, added another 20 in September, and will work on an estimated 520 cases for city tenants over the next 2 years. But that is a fraction of the number of cases that need attention, according to advocates. St. Louis has one of the highest eviction filing rates for renters in the nation, according to Princeton University's Eviction Lab, with more than 6,000 evictions filed last year. A Washington University study shows that when tenants do go to court, they won less than 0.5% of time. The top prosecutor in Springfield, Illinois, is vowing to keep Sean Grayson in jail while he awaits trial for the shooting death of Sonya Massey. This is after an appellate court last week ruled that the former sheriff's deputy be released from jail while awaiting trial. Grayson has been in custody since July when he shot an unarmed Massey in her home after she had called 911 for help. Massey's father, James Wilburn, spoke after a status hearing in the case Monday.
This appellate court ruling was a serious miscarriage of justice, as far as I'm concerned, and we're going to get justice for my daughter, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Sangamon County State's Attorney John Millhiser says he plans to appeal the decision to release Grayson up to the Illinois Supreme Court. A man who's been considered instrumental in helping develop Missouri's cannabis microbusiness community is connected to seven licenses under investigation or facing revocation. The Missouri Independent is reporting David Brodsky is a consultant who charges clients $4,000 to help them apply for a license and start a small-scale wholesale cannabis business. The state is questioning whether a qualified candidate will actually be running each of the seven businesses Brodsky is connected to. The microbusiness program is intended to help steer small-scale marijuana facility licenses to people who are disabled veterans, have lower incomes, and with nonviolent marijuana offenses. The Independent has documented the pattern of well-connected groups and individuals flooding the microbusiness lottery by recruiting people to submit applications and then offering them contracts that limit their profit and control of the business. Brodsky denies the allegations. The Division of Cannabis Regulation Director is considering making changes to the application process to curb potentially predatory practices. Researchers at the University of Missouri are genetically altering corn to change its color, specifically to the color purple. A research team is analyzing varieties of corn and comparing their nutritional values. Maíz morado, or purple corn, is already found in South America and is proving to be the healthiest variation of corn. But right now, maíz morado does not grow well in Missouri's climate. Ravinder Kumar is a PhD student in food science at the University of Missouri. He says they're trying to breed a corn similar to maíz morado that will still grow in Missouri.
What's still lacking is we need varieties that has almost similar amount of polyphenols or that can be highly grown in the United States.
Polyphenols are chemical compounds that have antioxidant properties. Deer season is from October to January, but drivers should be on high alert now during the animal's mating season. Jess Savage reports.
Last year, there were almost 15,000 crashes involving deer in Illinois. More than 95% of the crashes caused damage to cars and property, and 7 even resulted in deaths. There are a few things to keep in mind when driving this season. Drivers should brake and honk their horn when they see a deer instead of swerving into another lane. Crashing into another car is more common than hitting the animal itself. AAA spokeswoman Molly Hart says that making noise to scare a deer in your path is one of the best ways to stay safe.
We at AAA rarely recommend anyone to blast their horn because that might be interpreted as aggressive driving. But during deer season, if you see the one, blast your horn.
Hart also says that drivers should be extra cautious during dawn and dusk when deer are most active. I'm Jess Savage.
A traditional building material is getting new life in the Midwest. It locks away carbon and is strong enough to stretch stories into the sky. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on a new way builders are using wood.
On the northern edge of downtown Milwaukee, one high-rise is not like the others. Your typical tall apartment building is made of steel and cement. The Ascent Milwaukee is made of wood.
It is 19 stories of mass timber over a 6-story concrete parking structure.
That's architect Jason Korb. The Ascent Milwaukee is currently the world's tallest timber-concrete hybrid building. It reached that new height thanks to cross-laminated timber, or CLT. It's engineered wood, made by layering and gluing lumber in a crossing pattern to form massive, strong beams.
14th floor.
This high-rise is a luxury building. The 3-bedroom model unit we tour goes for about $7,000 a month. The ceiling is made of warm, exposed timber that connects to thick wooden support beams, framing a stunning view of Lake Michigan. Originally, Korb says the building's developers considered cross-laminated timber as an aesthetic choice.
But the more you dive into it, the more you learn about its other benefits. The largest one is the level of carbon sequestration in the timber.
Korb says this building is estimated to have offset the amount of emissions produced to heat and cool about 1,000 homes in Milwaukee for a year. Numbers like that are sparking a growing interest in cross-laminated timber. There are two big ways CLT can lead to fewer planet-warming gases in the atmosphere, says John E. Fernandez, a professor of architecture at MIT. One is that wood stores carbon.
When you look at a tree, the fact is that about half of the dry weight of that tree is carbon. So carbon has been taken out of the atmosphere.
When you cut down that tree to turn it into cross-laminated timber, you're storing a lot of carbon into a building for a long time. You're also avoiding the emissions from materials like steel and concrete. Fernandez says it takes a lot of energy to make those materials. Together, steel and cement produce almost 15% of planet-warming greenhouse gas emissions worldwide. So if we can find a way to build with something else, that could help slow climate change. But cross-laminated timber is still a relatively rare building material in the U.S.
It's, you know, really in its infancy.
Bill Parsons is the chief operating officer at Woodworks Wood Products Council, which is a nonprofit funded by the forestry industry to encourage more use of wood. Parsons says cross-laminated timber first took off in Europe in the 90s, but took a while to get to the U.S. Now the industry is growing quickly.
We really see this continuing to be this rapid growth through even all of the economic conditions and the pandemic. We've kind of continued to grow basically 20-30% year over year.
And in cities across the country, developers are planning larger and taller wooden buildings. A gravel lot in St. Louis's downtown West neighborhood doesn't look like much right now. But 2 blocks away, St. Louis's new soccer stadium is about to host the U.S. men's team. Professional soccer has breathed new life into this neighborhood. This empty lot will soon have a mass timber high-rise that's a bit taller than the record holder in Milwaukee. Kyle Howerton is a principal at AHM Group, the developer behind this project.
I hope that this is a catalyst for more structures being built using the same technologies. It feels really nice, and it could help St. Louis kind of be placed on the sustainability map.
Howerton hopes to break ground on this mass timber high-rise next year. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
That story is part of our partnership with Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. And here in STL, there's still snow on the ground, it's decidedly December out there, and holiday music is in full swing. If you're looking for a St. Louis spin on seasonal music, St. Louis Public Radio has collaborated with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra and Jazz St. Louis to bring you holiday music in a local tune. You can find links to four playlists curated by local musicians at stlpr.org/holidaymusic. This is Sleigh Ride, performed by the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Leonard Slotkin. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. And we say that because The Gateway is funded primarily by donations from listeners. This Giving Tuesday, please support St. Louis Public Radio to keep local, independent journalism strong. Make your donation at stlpr.org. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.